One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Stop by Sherwin-Williams and get 30% off select paints and stains June 13th through the 23rd. It's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Refresh your home inside and out with colors that make every space feel brand new. From cozy interiors to stunning exteriors, we've got the perfect shade for your next project. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Hey everybody, want to let you know I'm headed back on tour. Friday, September 13th, I'll be in Austin, Texas at the Vulcan, one night only. Saturday, September 14th, I'm at the Granada Theater in Dallas, Texas, one night only. I'm back at the La Jolla Comedy Store Friday, September 20th and Saturday, September 21st. Salt Lake City, September 27th at the State Room. And Denver, Colorado, Saturday, September 28th at the Oriental Theater. Get your tickets for those shows and all shows on my website now at ryansickler.com.
The Honeydew with Ryan Sickler.
Welcome back to the Honeydew, y'all. We're over here doing it in the Night Pants Studios. I am Ryan Sickler, ryansickler.com, and Ryan Sickler on all your social media. And I'm going to start this episode like I start them all by saying thank you. Thank you for whatever you do to support whatever I do, whether it's merch or a show or an email or a Patreon episode. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And if you got to have more, then you got to have the Honeydew with y'all. The Patreon is the wildest. It's the wildest stuff you'll ever hear in your life. I promise you. For $5 a month, you're getting hundreds of episodes of the craziest stuff you've ever heard. And you're getting the Honeydew a day early. You're getting it with no ads at no additional cost. All right. And if you or somebody you know has a story that's got to be heard, submit it to honeydewpodcast@gmail.com. That's the only place to send it. I want to hear from you. If you sent it in, send it again. Bump it to the top. We get a bunch of them. I'd love to do an episode with you. Want to say thank you for your support of The Way Back. It's such a fun new show to do, and I'm having a blast doing it. It's one of those shows you got to watch, all right? This is an interview show for sure, but The Way Back is something that we're putting old people's youth and everything, old pictures in the episodes, cutting through it, bringing life to it. So it's definitely one you want to watch. And come see me on tour, all right? If I'm in your town when you're around, all the dates are on my website. Get your tickets at ryansickler.com, all right? That's the biz. You guys know what we're doing over here. We highlight the lowlights. And I always say these are the stories behind the storytellers. I'm very excited to have this guest back on the Honeydew. Ladies and gentlemen, George Perez.
Hey! Back to the Honeydew, brother. What's up, brother? So glad to be back, doggy. So glad.
My favorite non-selly ever, bro.
You know what's crazy is I first thought the Honeydew podcast was like you were divorced. You were sick of your lady always asking you, hey, honey, can you do
this? Honeydew list.
Hey, honey, can you do that? Yeah. What's up, everybody?
It's so good to have you back.
Thank you, brother.
Please, before we talk about whatever we're going to get into, promote it all.
Hey, everybody, if you like me, you're going to love me. Follow me on Instagram, George P. Comedy. Any social media, it's George P. Comedy. Go to my link tree, George P. Comedy. All my tickets are on there for my tour. I'm doing the Take a Shower tour right now. So take a shower and come to a show and enjoy yourself. And don't forget, I got a podcast called George Perez Stories. It comes out every Tuesday at 9:15 West Coast time. And I'm running a daycare next door to strip clubs looking for investors. So that's it.
I hope that's true. And that's such a good idea, dude.
No, there was this strip club.
How's that never happened, or has it? No. How's that never happen for those young ladies working hard over right? there? Need some daycare, some child. That's not a bad idea, dude.
We're looking for investors.
That's better than the strip club next to the car wash. You know what I mean? And the daycare, it's all day long. I need daycare for my whole shift. You know what I mean? Car's going to be in and out 15, 20. I need child care.
I was thinking of something like that.
You got it. I think that's a great fucking idea. Already I'm stoked to have you here. But I do want to talk to you about something because you're a dad. I know you're a devoted dad too. We were at the store a few weeks ago and you're like, look, man, my daughter's going to prom. And she showed me the picture. You're so proud.
Yeah.
She's so beautiful. And then I'm seeing my 9-year-old like, oh God, it goes in a second.
Oh, it's gone, brother.
So I wanted to talk to you about being a father, not just being a father, but a man who's gone to prison, who's seen the ugliest of the ugly, and now has come out, put himself on, you know, a straight path that more goes like this, but it's still straight. It's like a...
And I don't get a DUI, but I drive straight enough.
That's what I'm saying.
You know?
But also, like, the fear and the anxiety of never wanting your baby to see that element of life, the people inside those walls, those bars, all that shit. Like, what does that do to you?
Wow.
Because how old were you? Let me ask you this. How old were you when you became a dad?
18.
18. So you're a kid.
Yeah, I was 19. It was 19 because my son was born. No, I was 18. My son was born 5 days before my birthday.
Okay.
Yeah. And
so your son's older.
Yeah, he's 18 years younger than me.
And then how old's your daughter? I mean, how old were you when you had your daughter?
When I had my daughter, I was 30.
Oh, wow. So you waited a long time.
Dog, I had my... Man, I'm so ashamed of this, brother. I was in prison when my daughter was born.
This is what I wanted to ask you.
That was like, yeah. Like, I was in county jail because I was facing being a comedian. Remember the story I said on Rogan? They see me on TV, whatever. So now I'm in the county. And what happens is you're in county because you're waiting to get a bus to go upstate. And I just remember, like, the county jail is maybe like 15 minutes from my house. And I called and they were like, hey, she's in labor right now. So I got like 10 honey buns. I told everyone we're going to make a cake, celebrate my daughter being born today. Like we made like a little spread.
In prison?
No, this is in jail.
Oh, the jail.
Yeah.
But wait. So when you go to jail, you already know she must be what, 9 months or close to.
Yeah, it's
so
close.
You know you're gonna
because of
you
court,
might miss this.
Oh yeah, I knew I was gonna miss it, and it was just like.
And so you now you're in jail. They tell you she's in labor, and then she's born that day.
Yeah,
that you're in jail.
Yeah,
and then you make a prison
and then
a jail celebration cake. They let you do that?
Oh yeah, I mean, not that they let us. I was just like, yo dog, I have all this stuff I need to celebrate, and plus I know I'm gonna catch the chain. So when you catch the chain from the chain, that means you're gonna go upstate. You're gonna be chained up.
Okay, that's what I wondered.
Yeah, like Django. Shackles.
Yeah. hands and feet
yeah, and with everybody else too. And yeah man, I was like, I need to get rid of all this food. I can't take it with me. So, boom. Dude, we had a cake. We had burritos. Yeah. No soda.
That was your welcome to the world celebration meal, huh?
Yeah. You know, Ryan, it was tough, man, because I already had kids before that, and I had full custody of my son. That really broke me. It's just like, I remember dropping him off at school, going, look, I got to go to court today. If I don't pick you up at 5, your uncle's going to be here. And now, he tells me this all the time. He goes, hey, dad, don't ever tell me that shit again. I'll pick you up at 5. Because it's like, and then I remember I lost at court, and then I called him, and I was just like, hey, man, you know, of course you're going to cry. He was crying, and I just thought, hey, we both have to man up right now. I'm sorry I put this burden on you, man, but like, I'll be home. Your uncle's going to take care of you. And that's when the transition goes. Feel me? Because now you're hurting someone that should not be hurt. But also he understands my mom's a piece of shit. This guy's doing construction, doing all kinds of stuff to make sure like I don't get bullied by my clothes at school. You know? And Yeah, bro. Then after that, you wipe those tears, get shackled up, and you go back. And then, yeah, man, it was. I also had another. I had another son as well, Andres, and he really wasn't talking to him. He was more kind of mad, you know. Everyone takes it different. Because he was my 50, like, dude, I got three babies' moms. Three
kids. Okay. Oh, you have three kids with three different
ladies. No, I got
ladies.
Four kids with three girls.
All right.
And, like, the first one doesn't count because I got custody. So we never see her. I never even got child support from this chick ever.
You don't talk to her or anything?
She's lost. She has, like, nine other kids from, like, eight other guys. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. With a Sean Kemp jersey. Yeah, bro, like, you know, I don't know how to say it, but like, I was responsible, but I wasn't. I was kind of like a mediocre dad at that time, just like, all right, fool, you're gonna have good food, but I'm gonna be doing this and that. Like, I left him a lot of responsibility. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Dad wasn't home.
Yeah.
And dad's a rolling stone.
Yeah.
And he tells me, he goes, you know how many girls you bring over to the house? And I was like, he goes, they used to all give me stuff. Yeah, yeah. Well, anyways, moving on to that, to being a positive parent. Yeah, man. I had another daughter as well named Amy that came into my life later. And
so how many do you have when you actually go to prison?
Four.
Okay, so your baby, your like, youngest is born when you're in jail then. Okay.
And the other one's one.
Whew.
Yes.
So.
Yeah, now. I'm not her biological father, but I'm her brother's dad. And her biological father's not in the picture.
Yeah.
So to her, I'm dad no matter what. Like, she tried to take me on Jerry Springer once.
Nuh-uh.
Yeah, because she was so young. She goes, dude, just go to Jerry Springer and they'll tell you you're my dad. I almost cried, bro. Nah. I was like, damn. Because they don't understand the concept.
How they're going to shred your whole family apart on TV and shit. Yeah. Celebrate it and everything. Like,
So, yeah, that's just that, Ryan. That's what I had to deal with. Just by going to prison. Now I'm there and I can't.
Yeah, like, what happens inside prison? How often are you allowed to call your children or see your kids? Like, how's that work?
That's a great question.
Is it weekly? Is it daily for calls, weekly for visits?
There's no phone calls in prison.
None?
No.
So that's only jail shit, huh?
Yeah, unless you have a cell phone.
Are you allowed to have a cell phone
in
there?
That's 6 G's.
Is it really?
And then if you get caught with it, it's like 190 days more, because you cannot be planning an escape and all that.
Right,
they throw the major on you. So, I mean, I take it back. Yeah, there is phone calls in prison, but it's not like, hey, guard, take me to the phone. It's a structured program. And then mostly.
And you have to earn it.
Yeah. You have to be like a program inmate. Because if you're in the SHU or you're in the disciplinary, there's no phone. But I was lucky. I was in a lower yard at this time, a level 2 yard. And they have the phone where you just make collect calls. It's changed now. I think it's free now. But when I was in prison.
I've gotten a few collect calls from prison. Well, first time I got one, I'm not even bullshitting. It came across the caller ID. That's how long ago it was on my home phone. And it said prison, but I had never seen it come across. And I'm going, who the fuck is pricing? You know what I mean? And I pick it up like, hello. And they're like, you have a collect call from, and it's like, Joey at such and such prison. I'm like, oh, prison.
Yeah.
I'm like, you're in prison? What the fuck happened?
Yeah. So, yeah, man. I mean, you don't want to burden your family. These phone calls are like 20, 30 bucks. And imagine if you do that every day.
Yeah.
And then you're not there. They don't have your income. But, you know, I left a little money. I told all of them. I had three cars at the time. And I told the baby's mom I was with, hey, sell that fucking car. And I told my other baby's mom, you sell that car. And trust me, I'm going to find a way to try to send at least $100 home a month or whatever. And they were just like, no, you're good. You're good.
And how long do you know you're in there for?
Well, they that's why you go to a reception yard. You talk to a counselor and a counselor evaluates you. And then they tell you, check it out. So when you're in the county, they give you double time. So like if you did 6 months in the county, it's a year and a half.
In prison.
No, it's your credits, because prison is going to give you a release date. Because now when you go to prison, your crime dictates it. If you did a nonviolent crime,
yeah,
it's 50. Since my crime was so violent, they're like, you're doing 85%. Fuck what the county said.
Oh, I see. They overrule that shit.
Yeah, they were like, you're going to be in here for, I'm like, three. I'm like, I'm only supposed to do a year and a half. They're like, you're doing 2 years and 10 months. So, yeah.
And you did all that time, or did you get out a little early?
No.
All 2 years and 10 months. All so it's 34 years. Months.
Yes.
So you don't even see your daughter, your youngest. No. Obviously, you don't see all your kids.
I did.
You did. Did they bring her in?
So now when you're in prison, you have to fill out a form and it gets approved. Like if your mom's an immigrant, she ain't coming in. If there was any, like, you have to be accepted by the board to come in. And the first time I held my daughter was on my birthday.
In prison.
I have the pictures on me because we took a Polaroid. And hey, bro, I was so nervous, man. And it was just.
Now, let me ask you this mentality too, because now you're holding this human you've never met before. I'm sure you're crying.
You can't.
That's the thing I wanted to ask you.
Yeah,
the thing. You're in a goddamn zoo. And if you show any fucking weakness.
Yeah, I mean, it's not
regardless,
that.
I'm just saying the mentality of trying to like fight this fucking love and all of the emotions. I'm missing you. I'm sorry. I love you. I'm happy. And then these motherfuckers seeing this guy cry. Is that a problem?
It's not a problem, and it is a problem. I've been schooled about prison. All my friends been there, close people that I love, and then they schooled me. They were like, check it out, dog. When you show emotion, you give another man a chance to critique you. Now, if this fool critiques you in a way you don't like, now you're going to look like a bitch because you didn't handle. So he was like, try to keep your emotion to a minimum. No horseplay, unless it's fools you grew up with. Because now
just
you're inviting someone.
Making jokes. That's about it.
How hard it is for a fool like me?
So you couldn't. You couldn't crack jokes
you
and
could,
laugh.
But you couldn't roast.
An emotion.
Yeah, you couldn't roast a homie, though.
I see, because that motherfucker gets pissed.
He's
and
like,
you better.
Hey, you just disrespect me in front of everybody, dog. And I was like, well, fool, that dog, you do look like Clint Eastwood.
You do, dude.
I mean, but now if it's a home... It teeter totters, okay? Because I was roasting fools that I knew and grew up with. There's people in there that you're like, dude, there was a guy in there that I his brother played professional baseball, so could he, dog. Brian Betzel, shout out to Brian Betzel. His brother played for the Angels.
Oh, yeah.
Me and this guy grew up since like kindergarten, and he's in there with me. And he's like, dude, I just seen you on MTV and Showtime. What are you doing here? And I'm like,
I just saw your brother play for the Angels. What are you doing in here?
Exactly. But yeah, man. So
how many more times do you get to see your daughter when you're in prison? You've seen her once.
Yeah. Well, I'm gonna break it down to you. So there's so many inmates that there's these. You have a number, your CDC number, and the last three numbers dictate when you get to go. How they end, they put them in a chart. So I got the every last week of the month. Dude, I got lucky, man. My other kids are like, look, I'm not going through this visit. They came once and they're like,
Where were you? Where were you locked up?
Where I could get visits with CRC. It was in Norco. It was a good yard. Now
Is that for the family to drive to, though?
Only 45, dog.
Boom. All right.
Yeah, so I got lucky.
I mean, shit.
I got lucky.
Yeah, that's from here to Burbank in traffic.
Yeah, I got lucky. It's right by the Ontario Improv.
Oh, of course it is.
You don't even know. The guards there were like, I seen you in Ontario. I'll never forget the first time I met my daughter. The night before, I spit shined my shoes, ironed everything, and it just... It was weird though, Ryan, because like this little girl, man, looked like me and just like she knew who I was, man. And after that, I was like, yeah, dog. I'm not going to stab nobody over here. Like, I'm coming home, man. Like, you know, like, I'm going to be on my best behavior unless another man tries to come get some.
I mean, if you're going to, if it's life or death.
Yeah, it's self-defense. One
choice. Yeah.
You know, and I got lucky, man. A lot of fools when I was in prison were like, hey, dog, we need you out of here. Chill, player. Like, you're representing us now, George. There's nobody on stage that has been to prison and walked the main line.
Wait, hold up. There's a mentality among the prisoners in there that, hey, you can be one of us out there and go rep us, and we want you out of here?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah,
I've never considered that mentality. I've always considered, like, you're in here with one of us, and it's, you know, survival of the fittest.
It is, but it was just...
And I always thought they'd hate if you get out, like, jealous that somebody
would get out.
Of course,
but this guy's seen something in me. I know it's what's up to homeboy Sleeps from Bassett.
From where?
Sleeps from Bassett.
What cell block was he on?
No, we were in the same yard. And
Sleeps. Why do they call him Sleeps?
He just has that, like, I'm a sleep look, but a righteous man, gentleman.
That's interesting. And he's doing great right now. To be in that place and tell you to be, hey,
no, he pulled me up and he goes, this is the crazy part about this guy. We used to get visitation together and we were on the yard. He goes, I remember how you approached me. He goes, I don't mean to interrupt into your program. I just want to introduce myself. My name is Big Sleeps. I'm from Bassett. Your shotgun from Orange, right? I said, yeah. He goes, you're also George Perez? I said, yeah. He goes, yeah, man, my son seen you at a visit, and he was just in shock. He told me you're like a famous comedian. I was like, right now I'm not a comedian, homie. I'm one of us. I don't want those. Mm-hmm. And he was like, that's righteous. But he goes, hey, man, like, I just want to say, wow, I've never met someone. Like, he was like, I've been here for 17 years.
Oh, my God. Yeah. He ain't never met anybody that's done something.
He was like, how do you write jokes? And, like, he became, like, my, and he was, like, my little mentor. He was like, hey, come here, homie, chill. Something's going to happen today. Stand by me. And I was like, what? And then he was just like, yo, dog. And then check this out. So next time I go to visit, my daughter runs to him. Like, what's up? And he was like, hey, homie, is it okay if, like, because, you know, it's pure respect. Is it okay? And I go, yeah, yes, you could pick my daughter up. And then the inmates, the cops separate you because they probably think it's a drug deal going down. They're like, oh, the good old my daughter, grab it out of her back pocket.
I didn't think of that either.
I mean, you know what I mean? But that's,
but you know what? They've seen that before, hey, for sure. They had to have seen that before. Man, that's a good one, too. Yeah. Go hug your dad and drugs all up in the baby's diaper.
Dude, I know strippers. That I used to DJ at a strip club, and next to our strip club was a liquor store, and that guy sold more drugs than he sold chips.
Did he?
To all the strippers. And then he would be like, he would show me the video. He goes, hey, dog, that bitch is so scandalous right there. She has her kid coming with the envelope, and I give the envelope back to her kid with some chips, and walks out.
You know where that wouldn't happen? At your daycare right next door. That shit ain't going down at your daycare, bro. We keep it on the up and up over here at the daycare.
Yeah, man. But yeah, you know, first time I took her on a slide was in prison. Swing.
They let them go out on the yard?
No. So you're in a different visiting section. And when you're on the visiting section, that's when all the prison politics goes away. Every race is just like, look, we're with our family right now.
Okay.
So right now.
So then there's no worry about crossing lines with the black guys and the Mexican guys and the white guys and all that. Out there, it's everyone's equal.
Hey, man. I didn't
know that existed either.
Because you don't want to lose that right.
Yeah.
They could take that right away where it's like, whoa, what? Who did what?
But everybody's out there and they wanted to have like a swing set for kids and stuff. Oh, okay.
And my daughter was just like, and I was like, wow, man.
And so wait, I'm sorry. Let me go jump back a second. You meet her a couple months after she's born, right?
No, the first time? August. Or what's August? What's after August? September, October, November, December, January, February, 8 months.
So you meet her 8 months.
Yeah.
And then when do you get to see her again? A few months later?
Probably every other month.
Every other month.
Yeah, because it gets expensive. Or sometimes like... Every like 3 weeks.
What gets expensive?
Just
driving out and doing it and all that.
You know, they're taking the day off.
Yeah.
And then,
I didn't think of that. You got to take the day off work and all that.
Yeah. And
is it not, it never goes down on a Saturday or Sunday?
Sometimes people don't get in. because, you know, and yeah, bro. And sometimes, yeah, it's sometimes the yard goes down and they're just like, hey, visits are over. You guys want to stab fucking 10 people? But not, but like on the yard. So like they have to lose those cops to come over here and maintain what's going on.
So that got to get shut down.
Yeah. So I don't know, man. I mean,
so your daughter gets to know you in prison first.
Yeah.
Your youngest does.
Yeah. It gets sadder though, bro, when like now she's talking and she's just like, hey, how come you're not coming home with us? And that's when you're just like, fuck this. I got to shed some tears. You know, I'm just like,
it's motherfucking allergies. I'll be blaming it on allergies like a motherfucker out there so it'll stab me to death.
I'm in the army right now. No, I was just like, hey, you know, I'm going to be home soon. Right now I'm working. And, you know, the hardest thing is to lie in your kid's face. And later on, she was like, hey, well, you were working.
I was going to say, yeah. Yeah, she thought this was a place where you worked.
Yeah. You know, it's a trip, man, because my kids didn't want to come either, Ryan, because it's a full strip search, a full pat down.
Just to come see you?
Yeah. Your wife, your loved ones, everybody.
Even if you're, what happens if you're like 15? They full on strip search.
I think it's like underwear on, but like they go through all your clothes and all. I mean,
obviously to make sure you're not bringing something in.
Hey, these are all rules. We're supplying this for you. If you want to come in, this is how we do it.
Yeah.
You know? And yeah, but you know, I think my kids appreciated me for this. I wrote a letter every day to each and single one of them. I told myself, if you're waiting for me, you're going to come home every day and be like, oh shit, look, this is what dad did today. Like, I go, hey, this is what I did today. You know, I did 113 burpees at 6 a.m. Thanks for the magazines you guys sent. You know, that's what I'm thinking about. And you know, that's one thing, man. I miss being so positive in my head. Prison had me so positive. Really? I was just like, dude.
Even in the middle of all that, missing the family and everything, yeah, you were able to stay positive.
If you go to the yard with the blues, you're going to catch something and get more time and get in trouble. So you're just like, oh, hey, what's up? You know what I mean? I was just like, I got something to go home to, man. Damn, they still want me. Because, you know, you're kind of like, damn, she's going to meet someone else. I'm going to come home to a stepdaddy. So, yeah.
So then when do you get out? How old's your youngest when you get out finally?
She's going to be two and a half.
Two and a half.
Yeah.
And you go right home to her?
Right home to her. Yeah. Picks me up. All my kids pick me up.
Oh, that's nice. So they all did come for that.
Yeah. That's when the tears came out, dog.
I'll bet.
And it was weird because I was still prison program. I remember like telling my kids, hey, is it okay if I roll the window down? And they're like, they're like,
yeah, don't want to offend anybody.
I was like, all right.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. And you know how it is, man. It's like, damn. I didn't want to sit in the front seat, bro. I was trippy. And then like everyone has their hand on me. And it's, dude, it's crazy, man. You know? Yeah. Hey, I'm not crying. Hey, I'll fight anybody.
It's allergies. I'm yeah, telling you, bro. Man.
Yeah, man. It was the best feeling ever, bro. Because, like, you're really an animal. You're in a cage. You're told what to do.
When to do it. How yeah. to do it. Where to do it.
And any time that animal bites back at the full hole in the cage, they yeah. come back at you harder. Yeah. And sometimes I bit back. You know, I had some bad stuff happen to all of us, you know?
Whether you're off to the pool, hiking, or traveling this summer, you're bringing your microbiome with you too. The 38 trillion bacteria that live in and on you, especially your gut, are essential to whole body health. Seeds DSO1 Daily Symbiotic benefits your gut, skin, and heart health in just 2 capsules a day. Seeds DSO1 is easy to add to your daily routine. I've done it. They made it easy for me by offering a free travel vial and their welcome kit so DSO1 can go wherever I go. With clinical trials and breakthrough research published in top scientific journals, Seeds probiotic research and development make DSO1 a product you know you can trust. Not only has every ingredient been tested individually in scientific studies for their safety, dosage, and benefits, the DS01 formulation as a whole has been evaluated in 2 clinical trials. Support your gut this summer with Seed's DS01 Daily Symbiotic. Go to seed.com/honeydew and use code 25honeydew to get 25% off your first month. That's 25% off your first month of Seed's DS01 Daily Symbiotic at seed.com/honeydew, code 25honeydew. How much do you think you're paying in subscriptions every month? The answer is probably more than you think. Over 74% of people have subscriptions they've forgotten about. I know I have, and thanks to Rocket Money, I'm no longer wasting money on the ones that I forgot about. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. With Rocket Money, I have full control over my subscriptions and a clear view of my expenses. I can see all my subscriptions in one place, and if I see one I don't want, Rocket Money can help me cancel it with a few taps. The dashboard shows me this month's spending compared to last month, so I can clearly see my spending habits, and they'll help me create a custom budget to keep my spending on track. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved a total of $500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year when using all of the app's features. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/honeydew. That's rocketmoney.com/honeydew, rocketmoney.com/honeydew. Now, let's get back to the do.
Yeah, dude, I was in a riot in the county.
Out here?
Yeah, in the county. That was the craziest one. I can't stand sheriffs.
That's jail then, isn't it?
Yeah, but sheriffs are different.
And that a riot? What happened there?
A sheriff doesn't treat you with respect like a prison guard does, because a sheriff doesn't live with you. You're only there till you go to the big boys.
Got it. That makes sense to me, too. So, I get that.
Yeah, you don't really get it.
You're going to be out of here soon, so fuck off.
Hey, thank you.
These guys are like, I'm going to deal with you for 10 years, so let's figure this shit out.
How you doing? Good morning. Boom. These fools are like, you know what I mean?
So the prison guards would say, how are you doing? Good morning?
All respect.
No, okay.
Even when they like, say you raid my cell, the guard would be like, if you were a respectful fool, be like, hey, we're doing a search. So I need you fools to step outside, pat us down, handcuff us, and just be like, some of your stuff's going to be on the floor. I'm not going to put pictures on. I won't step on anything of your loving. I got to do my job, fella. Thank you, sir. Or not thank you, sir. You just be like, gracias, or whatever. And they go through all your shit. And then you'll come back. You're like,
but the sheriff's the one in there ripping shit off the wall. Yeah,
you're not allowed to hang stuff up at the wall. They don't understand. Like, dude, this gets me through my day. You know, it's a mental. But yeah.
So what? Tell me about this riot.
Oh, wow. Us and the blacks, I guess the blacks disrespected somebody, and at night it happened. It was just, you know, I was like, hey, man, there's 100 of us and there's 20 of them, eh? After that fool walks around the second time, we're going to kick it and everybody better be up. And I just remember like laying there going, damn.
Wait, real quick, you said the guy walks by a second time. You talking about the guard?
Yeah, after
he
makes
his second
count.
Pass?
So they do count.
Okay.
And then we kick it. And then we act like we're asleep. And then they go to the back and they get their drink, tea, whatever. It's we've watched what they do. Mm-hmm. And then as soon as that, yeah, dude. And like, so say this is a prison. I sleep here. When I was found, I was found. And a county riot, they don't have like, they do have the shields and all that, but they're more like, they got paintball guns with mace in them. So I had like welts. I got lit up. And then, yeah, that's when I spent July. Oh, dude, I spent 4th of July in the hole. Because I remember being, the hole. You're just one man cell. You don't give you a razor or nothing.
And how long are you in there?
I did 30 days.
And you don't get anything. Is there sunlight in there? Any kind of light coming through?
Like
a little slit.
You see this gray and that gray?
Yeah.
That's the only thing.
That's it.
That's it. Because you got to get lit. And then,
for
like
30 days.
Where I grew up, I could see like the bridges and all
that.
That's
terrible, dude. That's horrible. That's
so it's kind of by like Angel Stadium, that riverbed.
Uh huh.
So you could see the fireworks and all that. I just remember like.
You could see the 4th of July fireworks from the hole.
Yeah.
That's sad as fuck, dude. Oh, you talk about the real definition of freedom going on outside, dude.
Dude, I didn't even think of that.
That's what we're celebrating. Our independence and our freedom. And you're locked up looking at it from prison. That's absurd. Oh, shit,
But to me, it was kind of like, oh, wow. Usually it's dark. It's kind of dark, too. You could just see the fire reflections.
Oh, so there, I see. That's providing enough light. Yeah. Huh? I see.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Dude, did I tell you that when I was in the county, one of my ex-girlfriends visited me, too? And her and like my pregnant girlfriend
together.
Yeah. And she was like, I go, dude, I didn't invite you. I told her, I'm like, you can tell her to leave. You know, this is us right here. Yeah. And that was as evil as it sounds. It was kind of good. Like my baby's mom was like, oh, okay. It's me and him right now. Like, hey, we're not together. Me and my baby's mother, but.
Are you together with any of them?
No.
That was a quick ass no, bro.
No, but she was there for me, bro.
Yeah.
Straight up. Mentally, emotionally, and financially, she was there, man. There. I always give her that.
They all come to get you, and you're headed home. Where do you go on first?
To eat? No, yeah. First.
Yeah,
I need
first.
To take a shower.
Yeah.
And I told you, fools, iron my clothes, because when you leave prison, you're leaving in the worst outfit.
Aren't you leaving whatever you got in there with?
No.
No.
They do this thing called mail-ins, where they, like, you can get shoes, a shirt, but it's all wrinkled, and it's sitting in a package, and people steal it. It's the hustle. Hey, look, I found these boxes. They were brand new Levi's. Then you take it back to your, and then you start selling. It's what anything is to be sold. So I was just like, hey, you guys got my outfit? Boom, showered, clean, use my, finally a deodorant that I know. You know what I mean? And just, oh.
I'm taking a deep breath, yeah.
Wherever you guys want to go, to my family. They take me to downtown Disney.
Is that where you all went?
Every race. I'm not used to being around every race.
I didn't think about that either. Everybody's there. Everybody's bumping into you. That's probably the worst place to take
My kid just hugs me. Dad, what's wrong? I go, dude, I need a beer. Let's get out of here. Sorry, guys, I can't do this, right? I can't do this. You could just see me, you know? Like you ever see a pet bull that's lost? I'll bite somebody right now, dog. I need a leash. Someone guide me out of here. Mm-hmm. They take me to a Mexican restaurant. My kid's like about 16 and 12. I'm like, hey, you guys are going to have a beer with your dad today.
Nah, did you let him?
Yeah, they were like, oh. I was more buzzed than them. I haven't had a...
Oh, my God.
Yeah, you know, then after that, you know.
All right, so let's talk about now that shift where your daughter's a grown lady now. She's about to graduate from high school.
Yeah, one of my daughters just graduated from high school.
She did, okay.
She's in Ireland right now.
Okay.
Amy. And then my other daughter, Davina, the one that went to go see me in prison, she's going to graduate next year. And
is she who you showed me at prom? Whose picture did I see for prom?
That was both of them, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's what I wanted to ask you. Like, as a dad who's seen that and been through all that, does it fucking terrify you that your kids ever go there?
No.
Because here's the thing. It doesn't need to be the path that you took to go to prison.
No.
You could not accidentally, you could drink and drive, prison. You could work at a bank, steal a little money, prison. You know what I mean? There's a lot of ways to get to prison. So it doesn't have to be, well, I didn't take dad's path, but, you know, you still took a path. So does it fucking freak you out?
I think they know, you know, one of my kids got caught up in that. The one that I the one that I raised. And I can't get mad at him because he idolized me. So he's tatted up like me, but he's straight. You know, he has a lot of pain in him, man. His mother is never there. Like, he told me the last time he seen his mom, he goes, I haven't seen my mom in 8 years. And I seen her at the family reunion, and she walked by me and was just like, hey, that's it.
To her own kid.
That she hasn't seen in 8 years.
That's crazy.
Yeah, because it's her. She's not mentally there.
I was going to say, that is mental illness.
Yeah.
That's mental illness for sure.
And so, you know, I told her, hey, man, I know you have a lot of hurt and pain in your brother, but there's other ways to channel this. You know what I mean? And plus, like, yeah, he was wild, man, but he knows, you know, he has other family members that have been to prison. And I just told that fool, like, dude, it's not where to be. I ain't going to lie. I really loved that I went to prison because of the person I was at that time. Prison showed me, like, this is it. You better come out here and be a good dad, be responsible, and you're good.
So you think if you don't go to prison, are you dead?
Yeah,
if you don't go to prison, is George Perez dead?
George Perez isn't here. George Perez was too wild. I was young. And back then, I was doing so good. The clubs were paying way better. So now I was young, partying animal. And I was like, didn't know the consequences of, like, when you beat somebody up. And now I'm like, oh, I can't be fighting no more, dog. You get like, I'll get 7 years minimum now. And you don't want to lose that.
Yeah.
And I told my kids that. And I even told my daughters, I was like, you know, like, my job is to make sure you guys never work at a strip club.
Yep.
And to marry a man.
Never go to prison.
Yeah, that's not like me. But if he is like me, he has the morals that I have. What's up? And I feel bad because my daughters are like cool nerds.
Do they date guys like you?
No.
They date?
Complete opposite.
Nerds?
Not kind of nerds. But one of my daughters, she has a boyfriend. He's like a... emo kind of guy.
Oh, no. Yeah. Listen, I'm putting myself in 16-year-old me shoes coming over to meet you right now, and I'd be nervous as fuck. And I had a little edge to me. If I was an emo kid, I'd be scared.
Can I tell you what they planned it? This is the best question ever. So my daughter goes, I want you to meet my boyfriend. At 14, she goes, hey, you said if a guy wants to date me, he has to come meet you and ask. I said, yeah. She goes, but do me a favor. She made me dress like a substitute teacher.
She made you wear long sleeves?
Long sleeve polo. And I had slacks on.
And you were cool doing it?
Said, I got your back. Because you know what? You show me you trust me. So no.
Well done, Dad.
You right? You were like, hey, man. I said, dude, bring them.
Yep.
Me and her brothers were right there. And this fool showed up with his mom, his dad, his grandma, his grandpa.
Whoa.
He was so scared.
I was looking at it from the point like he was so serious. He's like, I'm bringing the crew. But he was terrified. Your daughter must have been like, look, I got to tell you about my dad.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
I would love to have been a fly on the wall for the conversations they're having before they meet you.
I know.
Like, he went to prison. No.
Well, yeah. And plus, the crazy part is like, her parents know me and my comedy.
Oh, they did.
See, it's Orange County.
Mm-hmm.
I got juice in there. I'm not Michael Jackson, but I'm like Ralph Tresvant. I'm not Bobby Brown.
That's my favorite dude from New Edition.
You know?
That's my favorite. I love Ralph Tresvant. You don't want to be Bobby Brown anyway.
Yeah.
Look how that turned out.
Exactly.
You got to be Ralph Tresvant.
Oh, yeah.
It's so good, dude. That voice. That's an iconic voice.
Oh, yeah.
That's an iconic voice. All right. Sorry. Go ahead.
No, you're good. I love this kid, man. He's scared. He's not a player. He's not a me and you smooth wise
with,
guy.
Yeah, with a chip
coming
on
over,
his shoulder.
Going, like, so, yeah, Mr. Perrine.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's in there like, I like this girl so much. I'm willing to be here and be so scared. And I was even just like, you know, gave everybody water, introduced myself, did the comedy, talked to the parents. Awesome parents, man. And I told him straight up, I go, look, I'm gonna be honest with you guys. I trust my daughter's judgment, and you should trust your son's judgment. My daughter's awesome. She's not. There's not gonna be no alcohol around them, and she knows what's up. And if you hurt her because you don't want to be with her no more, I'm acceptable by that. But any physical or any that like other stuff, sorry, man. You see, Pops, I'm not gonna come to you. I'm gonna come to Pops, and Pops, I know you respect what I'm saying. He goes, I respect everything you're saying. And I'm going to come with you and we're going to go to him. So then after that, I was like, you guys can hang out in the room as long as the door's open. You're allowed in this house as long as I'm here. And sometimes I'm going to be moody, bro, because
I went to prison.
Yeah, you got to remind that motherfucker.
I've never seen another person hold my daughter's hand. So I'm going to be a little like around me. Just be respectful. That's it.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Stop letting mosquitoes control your outdoor plans. The breakthrough bug repeller from killthebugs.com creates an invisible 15-foot protection zone around you and your friends. Whether it's a family barbecue or a camping trip with friends, this bug repeller from killthebugs.com is a must, unless you love getting eaten alive by the buzzy flying creatures. Visit killthebugs.com and save 50% on your purchase of the number one mosquito and bug repeller in the United States today. Visit killthebugs.com.
Yeah. And then they broke up, bro.
How fast? A young love.
A year and
shit.
A half later.
That's a long time for a young
she
kid.
She came home devastated. And I told her what happened. And I said, you know what, man? That guy's a man. He told you he was just... You were his first love. He wanted to try something new. I go, that guy's a man. And they got back together, dog.
Did they?
Yeah.
Are they still together?
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah. And I was just like, hey, man. That, you know what I mean? Like, that's cool. I like it how, you know what I mean? Because, dude, you know how that is, man. You don't want to meet all kinds of boys your daughter brings home and all that.
No, especially if it's one after the other. Fuck
I've only met one, dog.
That's great.
Yeah.
That is great. I think about it all the time. I think about my daughter at the table with her husband and they're pregnant. And I still, my thoughts going to be like, even if it was one time, like, this son of a bitch had sex with my kid.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You can't help it. Even if it was one time to create my grandson, I still be like, Mom, I don't like how this went down, though. Yeah. How'd that happen?
Yeah, man. It's, dude. Fathers out there that like are in your daughter's lives. A lot of fathers don't get to be in their daughter's lives because the mother blocks them out. You know what I mean? And I had to fight that, bro, with one. So it's just like, dude, I love my son, but it's just a different bond. Like, you know how like, I love my dad, but I love my mom, dude. And I'm pretty sure my dad loves me, but he's like, no, I love your sister, dog. It's just that protect, right?
You big time, yeah. You think slash hope your son could get out there. And it's not that your daughter can't. You just got to teach her a different way.
Yeah.
That's the thing. And the thing you got to watch out for the most is the dudes.
The Ryans and the Georges.
Yeah, for sure. That's who they got to watch out for.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, do you know how many houses I went to, bro? I just remember like meeting dads. Because my dad was like, hey, fool, don't bring no girl to this house unless you met her dad. Because if a guy comes knocking on this door, I'm going to beat your ass.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That was his rule.
He was just like, when I fucking...
See, I had no parents from 16 on, so I'm going over to girlfriends' houses for, like, homecoming and stuff, and I don't got anybody coming for pictures. You know what I'm saying? It's just me and a wrist course.
Oh, wow. So what happened to your parents?
Well, my dad died when I was 16, okay. But my mom split before that. So when he died, we had... Long story short, we had a choice to either go live with my grandmother, my dad's mom, but she was right outside the city, or stay in our high school where we knew everybody, and didn't have to start over and everything. So we chose that, but we had to live with our mom who didn't want us.
Oh,
so
wow.
Me and my two brothers staying in one bedroom, and she just left and lived with her boyfriend. So
damn.
For 2.5 years, it's just the three of us in this little apartment, and we were the kids in your school that didn't have parents, and that's where everybody went.
Dude.
That's who we were in high school. Monday to Sunday. There were no shotgun Sundays over there. There were none of those at our place. But there was shotgun and beers. Like it was
And the rules too were,
you grew up fast, brother.
Very fast. And the thing was, sports mattered to us. And if you didn't get good grades, you couldn't play sports.
Exactly.
And we were like, we're not going to fuck this up. So we all helped each other, because you might play basketball. I'm wrestling. You might be playing baseball. I'm lacrosse. But if our grades suffer, none of us get to play. Yeah. If we don't show up at school, we don't get to play. So we were like, look, we got this. Because of this ugly ass shit that went down, we kind of got this golden opportunity. And the parents, to this day, I'm still friends with all these dudes. And I'm like, would you ever let your kids? And we're all like, fuck no.
Yeah.
No, but we were good. Never got arrested. Cops came. Never got locked up. Always in school. Always attendance. We played it right. We blew a hooky here and there, you know, do a pool party because we could.
You got the little rascals.
Yeah, dude. We were those kids. So if I went to homecoming, it's just me coming over.
Right.
You know, my mom, my dad aren't coming over, or grandparents. It's just me rolling up, and I'm meeting dads solo and
shit. Do the dads know your situation?
Everybody knows. Yeah. Like, my dad was popular enough. Our high school was, yeah. Stay away from that kid. He doesn't have parents. You can go to, think about that. You're a dad. Like, I'd be like, wait, he doesn't have any parents, and he has a place where you could go with no parental supervision?
Up.
Nope.
Yeah.
Nope. He can come here, and that's what I would do. I'd go to their houses.
That's what's up.
Yeah. But anyway, we were that place. So I would just always have to meet. You know, I only had a couple girlfriends in high school. I'd have to go meet their dads, but they knew. They knew what was going on over there.
Yeah.
I mean, it got back. I mean, all the parents were on board. Like, your parents would be like, you can go. But if I get a call from the school that you're not there, if your grades suffer, if you're fucking off, that shit's over.
Yeah.
And we were like, and we all did it. All of them. There were a dozen people there every day. That's what I was telling you about the Nintendo. We'll talk about that too out there. The Nintendo fights and shit.
I have five brothers.
You have five brothers?
All a year apart.
Damn.
Except for me, because my mom had her tubes tied. So I came out 4 years later.
How? She didn't have it undone?
No, my dad must have had like some...
He must have had concrete sperm busted through that thing.
He had sperm with MapQuest.
Wrecking ball right through that.
Yeah.
Are you serious?
And
your mom had her tubes tied?
I'm the 15th of his 16th kid.
Your dad has 16 kids?
Yeah, from five other women.
Good God.
Yeah. So, yo, dog.
So you sort of stayed in that lane, but dialed the numbers way the fuck back.
Oh, yeah.
That's a lot.
No,
kids,
out of all my brothers, I'm the only one.
That has what? Kids at all?
Other babies' moms.
Oh, you're only, they're married or whatever, one?
I'm the only kid my dad raised.
Really?
Yeah.
Of all his kids?
Of all his
kids. Because you're the last one?
No, because his first kids, the first 10, he wasn't with the moms. He stayed with my mom, but he was working so much. He had one job for child support and the other job for us. And then he was never around because he was still out being Mac Daddy as well. He's like, stay off. I see you guys all week. I'm done. Like, he was still that dude. So when he retired, I was 13. So he's just like, oh, you ain't dressing like that. You ain't dressed like me. And I was just like, and he would cheat on my mom and take me everywhere.
What?
Hell yeah.
What are you doing? Just playing at the house?
Talking to anybody's nieces. Just, sup? What's up? Who got Mike Tyson's punch out over here, right? Like, he introduced me to that. He was just like, hey, here's $20. Go play with those kids. We're at a party right now. I was like, dude, we're in Van Nuys. Like, yeah. So he instilled that in me. I have that.
Is he still around?
Nah.
Is he alive? He passed?
Pops passed right before I went to prison.
Oh, so, okay.
Yeah.
So he never met your youngest?
Nah, man. Nah. It would have been an honor because she looks just like my mom.
Does she?
She looks just like my mom and like has her. My mom's the reason I'm a comedian. That's the funny one in the family.
It's her, huh?
Tear you apart. Roast master,
dog.
Oh, yeah. Because she got to remember, all my brothers had a lot of girlfriends, too. So she's, like, been through it. You know, I would be like, hey, mama, can I have this girl? She's like, look, if that fucking door's not, if I hear anything, I don't need no, I don't, like, she knew what was going to go down. And then I remember one time she was like, she caught me having sex. I was like 15.
She caught you where?
She kicked the door in my room. Dude. She kicked the door and she was just like, hey, Georgia can't play no more.
That's what she said to the girl. Girl had to be terrified.
And I was like, nah, my dad said I can have her over. And my dad was like, yeah. My dad was more like, I ain't tripping on your grades. Did you mow the lawn? Did you do this?
The chores.
Yeah. Huh? He's like, hey, he mowed the lawn, mopped the house, cleaned the car. Why can't? I'm teaching this kid how to be responsible. So when he does have a girlfriend, a real one, he's going to know what's up. Yeah, he taught me a lot like that. I appreciate that about him, man, but he never told me he loved me. And he was.
Your dad never said the word.
My dad was more stoic than the word stoic.
Wow.
For all the Cholo fans out there, stoic means to yourself. He did not crack jokes to his family, only with his buddies.
Did you ever see him cry?
One time I seen him cry because he was a truck driver. And he told me that he goes, yeah, man, he used to work for the Orange County Register. It's the newspaper. Mm-hmm. And said he was driving on the 5 freeway and there was an accident. He was the first one on the scene. And he goes, I seen a baby with its head cut off.
Mm.
And you could just see the tears. He was just like, it was a trip. And I just hugged him, bro. And that's when he punched me. He's like, get the Yeah, and I was like, dude.
You saw a moment and hugged him and he punched you.
Yeah. And he was like, yeah. And then I remember my brothers were just like tripping. They're like, you made dad cry, fool. And I was like,
dude. You made him cry.
Yeah.
You did.
And I was like, no, yeah. Like, you gotta understand this. We're fighting for this guy's attention.
Mm-hmm.
Like, all my other my other brothers are like scholars. And my dad's like, yeah.
So let me ask you this. At what point does a fucking hard-ass ex-con like yourself put away the toxic masculinity, the I can't cry bullshit? When do you finally let your shoulders down and say, look, it is okay to have these emotions and not be like my dad, like, get the fuck off me. Yeah. We don't cry. Like, how does someone like you even get to that point, being raised like that and then going to the institution and all that shit? Yeah.
You know, just coming home, brother, and seeing my kids not give up and not give up on themselves. Because a lot of time kids will hurt themselves to show you I'm hurting. And they're so emotional with me, bro. Like, we still, to this day, me and my kids cry together.
Do you?
Because, dude, I'm a good dad, bro. My kid's 26 and my other kid's 23. They just moved back in with me. They're like, dude, I don't want to live with my friends. I'd rather live with you, dude. Is that cool? And I was like, what? You guys want to live with me, dude? Yeah, bro. So it's like, and then like, we'll just be like, drink.
So just the three of you together now?
Yeah. Yeah. And one of my daughters is going to go to college. So my daughters are 50-50. But now that she's 18, she start coming over whenever. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's just mom had to keep them 50-50 to get the check. You know what I'm saying? At the end of the day, they want them more to get more check. The more days they have with them, the bigger the check. So, but that's done with. But yeah, man, I showed my daughters the other day Stand By Me and I cried.
Oh yeah.
They were just like, I was like, this made me a kid. Oh man, like I cry all the time now, bro. I don't know what it is. Somebody told me it's prison PTSD. Cause like
it might be, dude.
Yeah, like I cried watching Rudy the other day.
What?
Rudy.
Well, how can you not cry watching Rudy?
Yeah. Or music. It's crazy.
I'm the same way. How old are you now?
47.
See, I'm 51 and I get emotional over shit too, man. I just picked my daughter up at camp the other day and she's on the beach and she's got a baseball hat on. She doesn't wear it off. And I'm just sitting there smiling like, look at her fucking. She looks pretty good. In a ball cap, man. Good for her. She's having fun. And I'm over there getting all teary eyed.
Yeah, because
she's like, Dad, can I get ice cream? And I'm like, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that shit. Yeah.
Wait till you teach her how to drive, bro. That was crazy.
I already got her driving. I let her drive in our parking garage. She sits on my lap and I let her. I don't tell her anything. I say, look, and these are new cars too. You know what I mean? I'm like, this is a push down button park and brake.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I'm like, I said, I'll control the pedals. I'm not saying nothing. You do everything else. She parks it.
When was the first time like she emotionally broke you? Or, like when she did something.
I'll tell you. This got me. So when I was in the hospital last year for all that time and I didn't get to see her, we went to, I was promoting my special and it was her spring break, it happened to be. So I flew her to Austin with me and we went and stayed at Tom and Christina's, and Tom was on the road, but she and I stayed at Christina, the guest house, and our kids played together for a couple days and everything. That's awesome. And I stayed in the hotel the first night, and, she just said something about me being in the hospital, you know, and she's like, I'm so glad you're out of the hospital. And I was like, you were scared, huh? And she just rolled over and she grabbed my neck and she started crying. And she said, you made it out, Dad. You made it out. And I was like, and then I lost it. I was like, I fucking made it out. I know. And then I'm thinking, like, because I would get emails from her teacher. Her teacher said, hey, Stella's telling me you're not doing so good. And I was like, I haven't told her the extent. I'm just keeping it to Dad's back's messed up.
Yeah.
I didn't tell her all the other shit. And now she knows. And I know she doesn't still fully understand, because when she hears blood and clots, she's like, it's gross. I don't want to hear it. But yeah, man, that broke me. You made it out. Got me so fucking bad. I was like,
The shaking.
And hearing a fucking little kid's, you know, like, because my dad didn't make it out. My dad did not make it out. Damn. I was like, man, I wish I had this moment. You know what I mean? Like, man, kids throw
for
shit,
real,
bring
brother.
Shit up. You don't even know you have these feelings.
Yeah. Did your dad work a lot?
Yeah, all the time. He worked for Pan Am. He's a crew chief at Pan Am at the National Airport.
Pan Am. What's that movie? Catch Me If You Can.
Yeah, right. Pan Am. Yeah.
Yeah. My other daughter made me cry this last Father's Day.
What'd she do?
Just like, not in front of nobody, but she was just like, you're not my stepdad. You're the dad that stepped up.
Wow.
Yeah, man.
Dude.
Yeah.
She should write cards, bro. That's fucking bad.
She's very she don't play, bro. She's like, she's so competitive and so like, she's so smart. Both of them. Yeah, man. That was.
Good for you, dude. I'm glad
I want to be a grandpa,
out.
Though, Ryan.
I hear that. I say that all the time. I want to be something my dad never was. I want to be an old man. I want to be a grandfather. My dad died at 42.
Wow, I'm so sorry.
And here's the thing. I say this all the time. Like, I'm 51. I still don't feel older than him. You know what I mean? I don't think I'm ever going to feel older than my dad.
Yeah.
Does that make any sense at all? Like, that's like the guy.
Well, he died young.
Died very young, yeah. 42, and what he had almost took me out. That's why. So now I got to get my daughter tested because it's genetic. Yeah, so she's got to know about this shit. But at least it almost killed me, but at least we figured it the fuck out.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Brother, I love you, man. Thank you.
I love you too,
Thank you for coming on here. Promote whatever you'd like one more time, please.
I'm looking for an investor, guys.
Dude, that's a gold mine.
What are we going to call it?
I don't know. We're going to put our heads together and think about it.
Yeah. Do you want to make money in the day? We care about your kids.
We care. W-E-E care. We care. We care. Right? It's so great, dude.
We care.
Right next to the fucking strip.
Yo, everybody, once again, George P. Comedy. Want to give a shout out to all my kids. Giving you kids, they're so competitive for my love. I love it. I'm going my youngest to oldest. Davina, Amy, Andres, and Georgie. I love you guys. Without you, I would never be the person I'm at or who I am. And honestly, you guys are the reason me and Ryan are so close as well.
That's nice.
It's true, bro, because we both have daughters. And I remember you telling me, you're like, I love that she wants to spend time with her boyfriend. I got her more. Like, you were like, I ain't trying to go clubbing or nothing. I want to be with my kid. I'm like, that's how I am now.
Yeah. Go hang out with your boyfriend. Take your vacations. I'll take our daughter.
Straight up.
Dude, I don't know. I didn't mean to interrupt you, but if you've ever seen this, Deion Sanders, I can't remember how many kids he has. He has like five, and he does a system where he's like, hey, George, my number one right now. But he tells him it's always up. You know what I mean? Wow. The position's jockey.
Yeah.
So, hey, you're number three on the list right now. You know what I mean? But step up, bro. You could come to number one. So he always has him in a competitive lineup like that. Yeah.
I know all my kids, they're like, I'm number one. They don't even care. But they know. They know. I'm pretty fair. I love them, though. I love it. I really love it. My boys, dude, you guys are my backbone, my strength. But these girls showed me how to be more emotional, more care, and they made me a better person to women.
Agreed. I wanted a daughter. I mean, I grew up with two brothers, all boy cousins and shit.
No sisters.
Testosterone and balls and just aggressive. And I really knew having a daughter would calm me down. I needed to calm the fuck down too, take the aggression that you don't even realize you have until you get around ladies and you're like, mm-hmm. y'all don't just wrestle and fight the, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, no, we don't do that. Like, oh, okay. You're human over here. Yeah. So she would, you know, teach me patience and like sit down and do these meticulous little things or see something out the window. But look at that. And I'm like, yeah, I've passed that thing 1,000 times. I've never looked at it like you just described it.
Yeah.
You know, love that shit. I love it. Yeah. Good for you, brother. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you, brother. All day.
Always.
Thank you, brother.
And as always, Ryan Sickler on all your social media, ryansickler.com. My fall dates are up. Come out and see me. If I'm in your town, when you're around, tickets are on my website for all shows at ryansickler.com. We'll talk to y'all next week.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.